Kurien. Chanach gymi lan e gratisbon, na mach gydinien e gael deira, na gilias e coloter, a chunig mi sasanach sy'n eifed. Fair big trua le grua yn plwychach, ys glwn yn y blehe chela, yd yn gwirenach gan loch gawn, codach y spirit betrena. Ar o bwa I ers yn hau os dyn awm yn orn y fi gan o'n ach lio yn eri uch gychaha, as na ffras yn gwnioch mwgoch. Han y gwrs yn lys na sligyn, lys na sbialag yn i'r un bjarnach, as yn hocht as as y lasir yn yn crichus maim na harwych. Han y gfisgas a roes ffiler efi gwsbrecer yn y gwloch, is beshine at savare, a chabata huar e gwnio. Chwm e gwnioch yn rysna tank yn y bwch gle sgriach rhachgi starnich, gus yn ywar e hen ma'n stamig yn ianol at y chwri lare, bi al si as yn gynne sy'n grefal gyndiwg o gw cwl grado. A dy chwri o croes no medl riwch no enem no gachardin, charofig ie o'n y merin, snor o chafag y ffach gylwadur. Sgwyw ma hysys o'r rhan chaha, lyg ar moran i'r ahaliw, gyndwl ry clw na chi o'r meddwl, na cwp sy mi a beol na harych. Hwnig mi gasgwch môr a sasyn, fferach an boch na chwaeg sŵlir. Cha balost i'r aglan y garag, sŵg e galch beg i'r mahwlin.
Heroes, I did not see Lan at Ratisbon, nor MacLennan at Aldern, nor Gillis MacBain at Culloden, but I saw an Englishman in Egypt. A poor little chap with chubby cheeks and knees grinding each other, pimply unattractive face, garment of the bravest spirit. He was not a hit in the pub in the time of the fists being closed, but a lion against the breast of battle in the morose wounding showers. His hour came with the shells, with the notched iron splinters, in the smoke and flame, in the shaking and terror of the battlefield. Word came to him in the bullet shower that he should be a hero briskly, and he was that while he lasted, but it wasn't much time he got. He kept his guns to the tanks, bucking with tearing, crashing screech, until he himself got, about the stomach, that biff that put him to the ground, mouth down in sand and gravel, without a chirp from his ugly, high-pitched voice. No cross or medal was put to his chest, or to his name, or to his family. There were not many of his troop alive, and if there were, their word would not be strong. And at any rate, if a battle post stands, many are knocked down because of him, not expecting fame, not wanting a medal or any froth from the mouth of the field of slaughter. I saw a great warrior of England, a poor mannequin on whom no eye would rest, no Alistair of Glengarry, and he took a little weeping to my eyes.
Sorry, I think one of the obvious things here would be who MacLennan at Aldern was, who Gillis MacBain at Culloden was, because I suppose for a reader outside the Garrick tradition, I suppose they would want to know, first of all, why in particular you might have chosen these two. In Garrick tradition, of course, one would understand why you chose Arthur of Glengarry at the end, because he is, of course, mentioned in a great Gaelic poem, and one of these poems which says that the hero is always blue-eyed and very handsome and very generous and so on. I wondered why in particular you chose MacLennan and Gillis MacBain.
Well, Napoleon's Marshal Lannes was very, very famous for his physical courage. He wasn't evidently the most clever of Napoleon's marshals, but his physical courage was a byword. And, of course, Browning's poem, you know, We French Stormed Ratisbon, mentions him at the storming of Ratisbon. Now, MacLennan At the Battle of Aldarn, between the Royalists under Montrose and the Covenanters, the Mackenzie, Earl of Seaforth, was on the Covenanting side. But he was thinking of turning his court, and when he saw that the day was likely to go with the Royalists, he ordered his men to retreat. Now, the head of the family of the MacLennans in Glenshiel, who were the hereditary banner men, said, "This banner has never gone back in the hands of one of my people, and it's not going back today." And the MacLennans stood and were absolutely decimated, and it is borne out by the rent rolls of Kintail. That was in 1645. Now, Gillis MacBain was second in command of the Clanchatten regiment at Culloden, and his feats were almost unbelievable. I believe when he was found dead, he had about 30 bayonet wounds. Of course, Alistair of Glengarry refers to a man who died about 1720, and about whom there are a spate of Gaelic elegies, attributing every possible physical and moral virtue, even wisdom. And, of course, the most famous of them and the best is by a distant relative, Cicely or Julia, of daughter of the chief of Keppoch, who begins and ends a poem, "Alistair of Glengarry, today you brought weeping to my eyes." So one has to know quite a lot about Gaelic history.
Yes, I think this poem is fairly clear that you've got this poor person who is physically very small and not at all handsome looking in comparison with someone like Alistair of Glengarry, but at the same time he had his courage. He had his kind of courage. So I don't think there's really any other major problems of any kind in this particular one. The other thing in translation that you might get references in translation that you have to understand, or you could maybe get them footnoted, but it's better, I think, to get from the author himself the idea why he chose these particular people. Oh, there is one other thing. The last line in the Gaelic and the last line in the English. In the Gaelic it says,
"Suke gauch beker mahulin,"
and in the English it says,
"And he took a little weeping to my eyes."
Would you say that was a particularly Gaelic expression?
Well, it is really almost a quotation. Mm-hmm. Of course, the difficulty about that is, you see, little and weeping are both disyllables, whereas gal is a monosyllable, and so is bake, you know, for little. Perhaps it would be better if I had said he took a small weeping, but that would be rather artificial, wouldn't it?
Oh, yes, 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 yes.